It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
One on, nobody out. The 2-0 pitch.
Here you swing a long fly ball into left field. This is going to leave the park.
This is the Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amron.
That ball's hit deep to left. This one's going to be out of here.
Get up, baby.
Claiborne and Kevin Wheeler and the Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Well, we're kicking off the Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amron here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you. And Claibs, we got some big news to talk about this week. In fact, I would imagine these couple of hours are going to be largely about that big news. And of course, the biggest is the Nolan Arenado trade, which we're going to detail here as we get going. But I don't want to leave out the signing of Adam Wainwright either. He got brought back late last week. So it's been a hell of a 4 or 5 days for Cardinals fans, for the front office, for the organization. I know it's been a long, slow winter, Claibs, but I think the wait's been worth it.
It certainly has. And, you know, one of the things that John Mozeliak said back in December, that we just have to be patient. I don't think we were thinking along this line, but it's certainly one I appreciate. But I'll tell you something, Kevin, that was interesting is the fact that he made the light about we may not be done. And I would think that Yadier Molina would be part of that equation. But, you know, that may be still another tweak or two on this ball club, which at one point you said could win the division by default. But now you elevate everything where you're saying, hey, why not win the National League? Why not get to the World Series? I think you're certainly moving in that direction.
You're adding, I don't know where you'd put Nolan Arenado in terms of, you know, like compared to Mike Trout as the best player in the game. But put it this way, if you're having the conversation about the 5 to 10 best players in the game, Arenado's in that conversation. This is an elite player who is on track to perhaps be the best third baseman of modern times. And I mean, it's a long time. You know, Mike Schmidt had a hell of a career. It's not like there's a definitive thing there. But even guys like Schmidt think he's the best defensive third baseman they've ever seen. So you've got a well-rounded player who fits the personality that Cardinal greats, the guys they commit to, tend to have, right? I mean, I know we're going to talk to Matt Holliday later. I see a lot of similarities in terms of work ethic and, you know, how they approach the game and all of that. And I think that, you know, this is a guy they've wanted, Claibs, for a long time. And, they, you know, kind of took a few failures to get to this point. But I think there's a reason why they wanted this guy more than specific other players.
I would agree. I think age had a lot to do with it. I mean, he's in the prime, still some good years in front of him, well-established, well-respected. And he's one of those guys, Kevin, and we've seen it before where you'd see a good guy who wasn't on a winning team. And all of a sudden he goes elsewhere and he looks around. He's like, wow, you know, I can step my game up a little bit more. And with everything we've heard about Nolan Arenado, that seems like that's certainly a possibility. And if that's the case, and I think the big challenge will be like everybody who comes to St. Louis, they press early in their tour duty in St. Louis. Once he gets that behind him, who knows how good he can be.
It's interesting, Claibs, listening to him talk, and we're going to hear from him a little bit later on in this hour. So right around 6:30, we're going to hear from Nolan Arenado some of the things he had to say. But a couple things really stood out. One is that he's always kind of admired how baseball is played and how it's received in St. Louis. And we hear that a lot from guys that come here. And, of course, we understand. In an introductory press conference, you're going to say good things about your new team, of course, right? I mean, everybody's going to do that. But he had some really specific stories that stood out to him about Troy Tulowitzki telling him that, you know, the first time he was here as a rookie in St. Louis as a rookie, Troy Tulowitzki telling him, hey, check this out. Watch how this goes. This is going to be fun. You're going to learn something about how baseball is. And I think that, you know, the fact that he already has such a positive view of the organization. And by the way, Claibs, the fact that he already said, I plan on being here a long time, I think it's a really good sign.
No, I would think that was really one of the things that raised everybody's eyebrow. I thought the other story about when they thought it was Charlie Blackman's first major league at bat, and they gave him a standing ovation, and everybody was looking around wondering what's this all about. It wasn't his first big league at bat, but that's how he paid attention. And, you know, we always hear about how the opposition pays attention when they come to St. Louis. And if you have a veteran on the team, and he'll make sure the young guy comes early and takes it all in, because that could be him someday. And I'm sure that same thing applied with Nolan, along with the fact that he had some people that really gave St. Louis a thumbs up, Matt Holliday being one of them. And as we've learned, there are a lot of other players on this team that he's known and played with and played against that certainly helped push this thing over the goal line as far as his interest in St. Louis.
So, Claibs, I think we all agree, and there's no automatics in this game. We know there are injuries. We know weird things can happen. But this team is in a pretty good position right now. I mean, it's, you know, I think what happens with the lineup, and I know – We'll talk about the pitching later, and, you know, Waino back gives you a lot more stability in the rotation. The bullpen we've talked about all winter long being fantastic. But from an offensive standpoint, you know, no one player fixes every problem, but a guy as good as Arenado makes it so that you have time to sort those other things out, right? I mean, when you've got guys like him and Goldie in the middle of the order, that gives you time for, you know, get Carlson to find his footing, and for, you know, to find out who's going to hit amongst Fowler or O'Neill or Bader or Thomas or whoever. I think that, you know, you just have that much more wiggle room, and you can continue to win games while you find those things out.
There is nothing like having options, and I'm sure one of the happiest people is Mike Schilt, because he does have options now with regard to his lineup, and it's going to be fun to see how that works. But I think you make a great point about Dylan Carlson. It takes a little pressure off of him, because you've got some bona fide swingers in this order, and he can grow into it. And you know what? What happens if he's sandwiched between those guys, or he's hitting in front of one of them, he's going to even see more good pitches? It can only help his situation, especially being a switch hitter.
I wonder how many scraps of paper Schilty's going through putting together potential lineups of who goes where. And
he's probably gone through a couple of ink pens, probably a ream of paper right now. Probably, you know, he may go the Tony route and start writing them down on cocktail napkins and things of that nature. But it is going to be fun for him to do it, and I think for us to do it, just to see how things pan out, because, as I mentioned, he has options.
Well, this is a big show, right? I mean, you don't acquire a player of this caliber very often, and we're going to be celebrating that throughout. So next hour, we're going to hear from Matt Holliday, who knows Nolan Arenado really well and, of course, knows Cardinals country very well. We're going to hear from Ryan Spielborgs, who is a broadcaster and former Rockies player, but a broadcaster for the Rockies, to kind of get that perspective. Later this hour, we're going to hear from Arenado himself. I should say it's Arenado. He made that. He was asked about that at the Zoom conference earlier, and he said it doesn't. He goes, I don't care, but it's really Arenado. So we'll make sure we do it the right way. Nolan Arenado. We're going to hear from Joe Buck later this hour. And coming up next, we're going to hear from the Cardinals president of baseball operations, the man that pulled the trigger on this and helped get it all done. John Mozeliak will join us when we come back on the Countdown to Opening Day show, presented by Ameren on the Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show, presented by Ameren on KMOX.
All right, back into the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show, presented by Ameren here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you, and happy to be joined by Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. And Mo, we're doing some of these things via Zoom today. I can see the Arenado jersey behind you. Congratulations, man. I know Cardinal Nation's pretty stinking excited this week.
This is an exciting time for the Cardinals. You know, I feel like there's at times where sometimes people feel that we're not aggressive enough. We're not always looking to sign the top available players out there. But I would like people to understand, like, we're pretty strategic in what we're trying to think through and why. And, you know, this is a player that we've always admired. And, you know, the interesting thing was, you know, after this pandemic, I think it changed some of the way they had to think about stuff. And so it created an opportunity for us. And, you know, started really sort of diving into this right around Thanksgiving, and to get to where we are today, I think, you know, look, we're all excited. I mean, anytime you sign a player or you bring someone in, there's that moment and in time where you're excited, you're pumped. But I think everybody can look at his track record, look at what type of player he is, and realize this is not just about February 2nd. This is going to be about – many years of having an elite third baseman manning the corners for us. And, you know, people have referenced like, it's kind of like bringing Scott Rolen type player back. And in a lot of ways it is. And you couple that with some rising talent, you couple that with already having like a Goldschmidt at the other corner, you got to feel pretty good about where we are. And, you know, not one player just necessarily like tips the scale on any given season. But I think when you look at this in totality, you feel pretty good about it.
Mo, this has been going on since last year when you first had conversations with Colorado. What jump-started it this year? And was there at any point where you said to yourself, I'm not sure if we can pull this one over the goal line?
1,000 times I said that. I probably said it 20 times yesterday. You know, like using the analogy, like, you know, how many times do you hit an approach shot to the green and then, you know, 5-putt? It kind of felt like that, like, oh, so close. And then it wasn't. So, you know, not blaming anybody. You just, there's a lot of details in this deal. There's a lot of complications. So, I mean, originally when we started going down this path, it almost felt like you're just, you know, jumping into a rabbit hole, because it just seems so daunting of an uphill climb. But as time went on, you started to be able to squint hard enough to see a deal. And then there was that optimism. So, but I guess you always have that saying, like, until you have a deal, you don't have a deal.
Mo, is it a fair statement to say the Cardinals kind of have a type when it comes to players? I mean, Nolan Arenado seems to fit the Chris Carpenter, Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina, Albert Pujols, you know, Matt Holliday, Scott Rolen, that really hard worker, the guy that seems to prioritize that pretty much over everything else. It's just the work ethic seems to be something that seems to be an attraction.
I mean, all those guys you named have had, you know, unique work ethic. But they all did it in their own different ways. This, I would say Nolan reminds me almost like the player he most resembles to me as like how he thinks about work is Matt Holliday. And for any of you guys that were sitting on that presser, I mentioned how he loves to play wiffle ball. Like, like some people, when they leave the ballpark, they would rather, you know, maybe golf, go fishing, do nothing. But he just likes having a bat in his hand or a glove in his hand. And anybody that's ever gotten to watch him take infield, it's like, you know, it's a piece of art. And, you know, I think from an offensive standpoint, we've all talked about in nauseam, like, what do the Cardinals need to do to improve? And it was like, find a middle of the order hitter. And, you know, I got it. I mean, I certainly understood what people were saying, but it's just not always easy to find. But to have the two skill sets in one player, it's you know, I think it really was a home run for us. And I do feel like he has a lot of Matt in him.
There were a lot of high fives extended and everybody's happy, but I don't know if you're going to have time to even savor this, because there's still a lot of work in front of you. You've got an arbitration coming up. You also mentioned something today that you guys might not be done. I haven't heard anything about extending invites for spring training for non-roster people. So there's still a few things to be done. And, oh, by the way, spring training is about 2 weeks away.
Yeah, so a couple thoughts on that. You're right. It's not time to just put your feet up and take a deep breath. So we're all still gearing up, working hard, and we have the arbitration prep going on as I speak. And then, you know, look, there's still some things out there that we'd like to do. The reason we haven't announced our non-roster invitees or just the complete roster in general is because of just the uncertainty of what those protocols might look like. In other words, what if we're told you're allowed 60 players and we already invited 72? Who gets to make that phone call? Tell the 12 they're not coming, right? So we're just trying to like hedge our bets as best we can on in terms of timing, but hopefully in the next few days we can resolve that, and you guys will know exactly what's coming into camp.
With that said, any more word on the DH? I mean, that was something that we thought was going to happen, then we heard, well, it's probably not going to happen. Has there been any true official word on what the DH would look like if we were going to extend it to the National League?
You know, candidly, the last six, 7 days, I really haven't paid much attention to what's going on with that labor discussion. My understanding is, as of right now, we need to plan to go forward without.
So as you kind of peek ahead, I know we won't talk about the one guy that's still a free agent. Won't put you on the spot, even though you've often been nice about it.
But we know, Kevin, you know, he doesn't discuss free agents. You know, he doesn't discuss that.
Exactly, so right.
We want to keep that streak alive here.
Exactly right. That's right. But
you guys can actually see my face right now. Normally you can't.
Here, hold on. I'm going to duck because you can see mine and I'm embarrassed. Exactly. I did want to bring up the one that got done last week that we hadn't had a chance to talk about directly with Adam Wainwright coming back. And he was super excited about everything, as we would all imagine. When you get a guy back like that for the rotation and, you know, adds stability and experience, how much does that help your planning with the other guys that you're going to be trying to figure out for that swing between the pen and the rotation and maybe Memphis?
Well, you know, getting Adam back did factor into how we thought about this deal, because, you know, obviously then somebody like an Austin Gomber, who undoubtedly has, you know, six more years of control, and Adam, we signed for 1 year. That's, you know, one way of thinking about it. But we just felt like when we got Adam back, it gave us some depth where we could take something off this roster and put it in the deal. And thus that's how we led to Mr. Gomber. But you know, overall, I think you touched on Adam's attributes. I mean, he is a fearless competitor. He's probably, you know, has one of the highest standings in our clubhouse in terms of like respect, and the young pitchers look at him and want to learn from him. And, you know, that was something we talked about earlier, that when you have your best players or your hardest workers, that's a good combination.
Hey, Mo, final question for me. You've been at this a while, and you've sat in the room on some big deals, even when you were working with Walt. Where does this rank as far as challenging your wits when it comes to being in this position that you're in, trying to do a deal of this magnitude?
Well, I'll sum it up this way. I told Bill, Gersh, Flo last night, I hope I'm never part of one of these again. I mean, It was extremely complicated. It was extremely stressful, exhausting, and I meant that, like, just it was a challenge. And you know, I've been a part of some complicated deals in the past too, but this one just had so many more moving parts. And so I know at some point I will smile and enjoy this, but I'm not quite there yet.
And many thanks to the Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, for joining us on the show. Big day. You could even see definitely a long process for everybody involved, and glad they got it done. And obviously a lot of insight there from John Mozeliak. I want to remind you that you can gear up for this season with a subscription to Cardinals Magazine, your premier source for Cardinals coverage in season and out. You can sign up at cardinals.com/magazine. All right. We just heard from Mo. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Nolan Arenado. He spoke to the Cardinals rights holders, so Cardinals broadcaster, special kind of Zoom conference from earlier today. I'll let you hear from the new Cardinals star third baseman when we come back. It's the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Ameren on the Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Ameren on KMOX.
Welcome back into the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Ameren here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Many thanks to John Mozeliak for joining us in the last segment. Now it's time to hear from the Cardinals news star. Now, he was introduced to everybody. You know, if you've got a chance to ask questions, your normal kind of Zoom press conference, the way normal is in 2020 and 2021. But before the big one, Cardinals broadcast and the Cardinals magazine folks, we all got a chance to talk to Nolan separately just for a little bit and get some of his thoughts on all of this coming together, what drew him to St. Louis, his friendship with Matt Holliday. A lot of cool things in here from Nolan Arenado.
This organization has a lot of history. You know, I've always had a lot of respect for it since my rookie year. I've always admired it from afar. You know, I remember when I was in the fall league, me and my dad went to go eat and watch David Freese hit that big homer against the Rangers, and we were going nuts. And I've always admired them from afar, and they've always played the game the right way. And the winning tradition is something that I've always had a lot of respect for, and it's something that I'm really excited to be a part of.
This discussion has been going on for over a year with respect to you coming to St. Louis. How did you deal with that? And when did you realize that this was actually going to take place?
Sometimes you read things and then your agent tells you something totally different. So you kind of start to realize, okay, I don't think what I'm reading is right on. But, you know, obviously, you know, like I said, you know, there's a lot of good teams out there. And I think the Cardinals are definitely one of them. I think that it's one of the top teams. And, you know, they got really good players. And obviously, I've heard they got a great staff. And obviously, asking around from people, as it got closer, I started asking around. Obviously, Holiday is a good friend of mine and wanted to learn and find out about him. And, you know, like I said, the winning tradition is huge. That's something, like I said, I admire and something I just want to be a part of. And they have great history, great players. And, you know, it feels good knowing that it was getting close, but I feel like I was hearing it was getting close for a long time. So I started to get a little nervous and worried, but I'm happy that it finally came into fruition and now we're here.
You talked to any of the guys yet? Kind of what's that been like?
Obviously, Goldschmidt, I've known Goldschmidt for a while now. We used to play against each other in rookie ball when he was in Missoula and I was in Casper, Wyoming. And then obviously playing him against the big leagues in Arizona and Colorado. And Matt Carpenter, you know, we got to know him pretty good. We got to go on a couple of vacations with him with Nike and we got to hang out with him and his wife and get to know him and just really good people. But I think that's what this team has is good people, good players. And, yeah, I've talked to a few of them and I'm, you know, I'm Paul DeJong. I've talked to him at the All-Star game a little bit and get to know him and I'm excited to be a part of it.
What are some thoughts that you've had about the Cardinal fan base in general as a visitor coming into St. Louis, what the atmosphere is like and what you have seen from the fan base?
Just the respect they have for the game and their knowledge for the game. You know, they know a lot about baseball and they pay attention to the little things. They appreciate, you know, everyone. I remember one time Charlie came up to hit and the announcer announced it was like his debut, but it really wasn't his debut, but they thought it was. And they gave him like a standing ovation, Charlie Blackman. And it was pretty funny, but it was cool that they gave him that respect, you know. And I remember Descalso came back with us one year. They gave him a standing O for what he, you know, how he helped that team win back in the day and Mark Reynolds. And it's just cool to see that they really appreciate players that play for them and they really love them. And that's all I've heard. All I've heard is that they really care about their players and they really care about their baseball. It's going to be pretty cool to be a part.
How do you practice making diving plays at third base?
Well, a lot of those are instincts. You know, I just let my instincts take over for those. But, you know, I had, you know, I used to go lay down on the ground and practice throwing from a knee on the field until my brother was like, dude, it just looks weird that you're doing this right now. Stop doing that. So, you know, it's just instincts, man. You just try to work on the little things, let your instincts take over. But, you know, I definitely work on throwing from different arm angles. And when you dive and you have to get up or throw from knee, you have to throw from those angles. So I feel like I'm always kind of prepared for those moments. And, yeah, just working on them, just trying to get better at it. And, you know, diving kind of takes a toll, you know, you get a little, it makes you a little sore and stuff, but you know, you got to keep doing it. Got to help the team win. So like I said, working on throwing from different angles has always helped me.
Well, you mentioned Matt Holliday a little bit ago. You guys have in common now, having gone from playing for the Rockies and Coors Field a lot to St. Louis. One, what are the things you maybe learned from watching him? Two, describe your general offensive approach and how you take that to the field.
Yeah. You know, I learned a lot from him. You know, I think, you know, I've always tried to finish my swing like him, like finish down and through the baseball. He's always been the best at it. Obviously just, you know, I like to work above the ball, you know, and those are kind of similar things we talk about. You know, we have the same kind of lingo when it comes to hitting. My approach is to go up there, hit the ball hard. You know, I think when I'm going right and when I'm doing things right, it's usually when I simplify it as much as I can. Let's just go up there, hit the ball hard, help the team win. And I believe when I have that mindset, I usually do what I'm supposed to do, and that's driving runs and help the team win. So that's what I expect to do. I try not to set too many goals here, you know, like hit, you know, everyone wants to hit 300 with 30, and everybody wants to do that. Of course I want to do that, but I think my goal is to be on the field for over 155 games. I think that's my main goal. I think if you're out there every day, usually the numbers are going to be there to back it up. So I think if I'm out there playing, I think I'll be right where I need to be. And I think our team will be in a good spot.
Your road numbers are really, really good, but there's always talk about the Coors effect. Your road numbers, especially against the Central Division, are really, really good. Is there a challenge to adapting, or is there anything to that?
I mean, there was when you're in Colorado, there wasn't a challenge adapting. You know, obviously your body doesn't, the first few days out of Denver, you feel a little sluggish. The movement of pitches is a little different. But so I'm really excited to not have to deal with those things, you know, those adjustments. You know, I think I can benefit from just hopefully just it's all the normal, you know, all the same, you know. I know some places it's gonna be a little different, but for the most part it'll be the same. So, you know, I'm excited about that. I love that St. Louis, there's humidity. I think that's always good. It's gonna be good for my body. I know it gets really hot there though, so I know that'll be tough, but you know, I like that part. But I'm not worried about that. Like I said, if I'm out there over 155 games, I believe my numbers will be just fine, and I expect to help this team win.
Nolan, I'm sure you've had a lot of things going through your mind. It's 100 miles an hour the last 72 hours and kind of the great moments in Colorado that's an ending and then the new beginning in St. Louis. Have you allowed yourself to think yet about how good the 21 Cardinals can be and the thought of October baseball? Is that something you have even considered yet, or are things moving a little too fast for that right now?
Oh no. I mean, I made this decision because I was thinking it, you know? So I've thought about this for a while now. You know, I think this team is really good. Obviously I have a lot of, you know, it's bittersweet as far as, you know, I'm going to miss some guys in Colorado, and I got them, you know, I've known a lot of those guys since I was like 18 years old, you know, so that part's tough, but you know, this is new beginnings. It's a new chapter, me and my family's life. And I'm very excited. I really believe this team is good. We got really good pitching, really good defense, and that's a huge piece. And now I think hopefully I can help expand this lineup a little bit and help each other. We could all bounce off each other, and I think we could do a really good job.
You know, our fan base, like you mentioned, they are so excited to have you in a Cardinal uniform. Just what would you say to them as you get ready to open spring training in your first year as a Cardinal? Just a message to the fans, if you had one.
Well, you know, I just let them know that I'm very happy to be here. I'm going to do my best. You know, I plan on being here for a long time, and I want to bring back those joys of the David Freese and those moments. And, you know, I want to get back to the playoffs and be a big time threat, and they already are, but I think I could really help them too. And it's a great feeling. I think we have a really good team that can do special things, you know, and I hope they're excited like we are.
Do you have any history in the past, amateur ball, anything like that, minor league ball, going up against or playing with any of your new teammates? And then just talk about how you're going to approach for the first time being kind of the new guy in a clubhouse as opposed to being the place you've been all along.
When I was in Double A, that was the first time we ever played the Cardinals. I was in Tulsa, so we played Springfield. And it's funny when it was like Carlos Martinez, Michael Wacha, Trevor Rosenthal, Greg Garcia, Colton Wong, Oscar Tavares. This team was stacked, man. It was packed. And I was like, dude, this is the best team I've ever seen. And they were really good. And obviously they all got to big league. Seth Maness was there. So, you know, I played against those guys and some of them in the minors. And so I got to know them a little bit. You know, obviously some of them are gone, but you know, I got to play against them. But Shieldy was the manager. I've gotten to know Shieldy a little bit. I was always talking his ear off over there at third base all the time.
Great to hear from Nolan Arenado from earlier today. Some really fun stuff in there, especially the part about planning on being around for a little while. Really, and in fact, the term that he used was being around for a long time. So I know Cardinal fans happy to hear that. I know it definitely stood out to me when Arenado made that comment. And look, it's an important part of this. We all want to see this play out over the course of the next 6 or 7 years, not just the next year, and then have an opt-out. And it sounds like he's planning on sticking around. All right, I want to remind you that, you know, while it's cold outside and all that, we can still dream about the summer months when we're going to be able to enjoy time together outside. And Cardinal Special Events offers all sorts of unique options for celebrating outdoors in beautiful Busch Stadium. From cocktails on the warning track to brunch in the bullpen, your group will be sure to make memories that will last a lifetime. To find out more, just visit cardinals.com/events. All right, coming up next, we're going to hear from Joe Buck, get some of his thoughts on the Nolan Arenado trade. That's next up on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Ameren here on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Sports bettors, are you ready? Download the PointsBet app now and use code BETQLDAILY to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, faster withdrawals, and faster rewards at your fingertips. Download the app now to experience the premium sportsbook for yourself, and don't forget to sign up with code BETQLDAILY to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. So, are you ready? T's and C's apply. Void where prohibited. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Ameren on KMOX.
We continue on with the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Ameren here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Great already this hour to have heard from the two big players in this blockbuster trade that went down earlier in the week, John Mozeliak and Nolan Arenado. Now we'll get the viewpoint from a guy that knows a little bit about St. Louis Cardinals history, who knows a little bit about Major League Baseball, and obviously does a lot of great work on the football side of things too. Joe Buck was kind enough to spend some time with our own Tom Ackerman a little bit earlier on this week to talk about the Arenado trade and, of course, the impact this has, not just on the Cardinals, but on Major League Baseball.
I legitimately believe he's one of the best players that MLB has to offer. I think he's the right kind of guy for this city. It's a brilliant move, and it really changes the overall feel of the team, the direction of the front office, their willingness to pay big money for big talent. That hasn't been there over the past few years. At least that feel hasn't been there, I think, locally and nationally. And now pulling off this deal, it's considered a steal for good reason. I would imagine that a lot of teams now look at this pact between the Cardinals and the Rockies and they think, wow. I mean, to give up what they gave up, the Cardinals, and not really any of their top prospects that they're dying to hold on to, have Colorado bite off $50 million of what's owed Nolan Arenado. I get it. Maybe the opt-out scares other teams thinking that he may end up back in Southern California. I just personally don't see it. I think he's going to get to St. Louis, love it. And I don't know that there's the kind of money out there that there was pre-pandemic when Nolan signed this deal. I think everybody wins, except for my father-in-law, who's a huge Nolan Arenado fan and Colorado Rockies fan. He is mad, very, very mad.
I was about to say, I know you have the Denver connection there. Joe, we're going to talk about the baseball player in just a moment, but tell me about Nolan Arenado, the person, and what he is like as a human being.
So I was doing a kid's show that I was partnered with a friend of mine who goes by the name of Coach Ballgame. And we were at the All-Star Game 2 years ago, whenever it was in Cleveland. I think that was two Julys ago. And we were bopping around trying to get players to be a part of a video piece with Coach Ballgame. Every player there said, well, basically, what's in it for me? I was offering my place in Cabo. I was trying to get guys outside from the locker room to do the piece. And I went to Nolan Arenado, who I don't know that well. And I said, would it drive you nuts if I asked you to come out right now and just do a quick thing? It's for kids. He said, absolutely, let's go do it. And I on the way down there, I'm like, man, I owe you. Thank you so much. He said, are you kidding me? This is great. This is fun. I love doing this kind of stuff. I said, well, what can I do for you? He said, absolutely nothing. And that, when I read that Matt Holliday said that nobody he's ever played with is more into baseball than Nolan, I think that's what he's saying. I mean, the guy just loves the game, wants to grow the game. And like I said on a show earlier today, the Cardinals finally have a billboard guy. You know, somebody that can be on a billboard, can sell tickets, merchandise, and it's somebody that represents the present and the future, not the past. And that's what it's about. And they got a bona fide superstar, but a hell of a guy. I mean, this city, once they get to know him, they're going to love this player.
It's so great to hear. And then the player. I mean, you have Paul Goldschmidt at first base and Nolan Arenado at third base. Not since Pujols rolling have you had a combination like that. And you and I have been around this team our entire lives. We've seen some great ones. I mean, Keith Hernandez and Ozzie Smith and Roland and Pujols and some excellent defensive players throughout, right? This is a once-in-a-generation-type third baseman, isn't he? I mean, he stacks up among the all-time greatest.
Well, when Mike Schmidt says he thinks Nolan is the best third baseman he's ever seen. And Mike Schmidt is known for home runs and all that, but he was a hell of a player defensively. It kind of goes Brooks Robinson. I think the next guy that was known as being that good, that much of a difference maker, that athletic at third base is Scott Rolen, time with Philadelphia, and then obviously here in St. Louis. And then Nolan. And I think Arenado is a guy that can make the spectacular. If you just go online, anybody who doesn't know much about him, just go online and look at his defensive plays that will absolutely make your jaw drop with barehanded pickups, throws with his momentum carrying him away from first base as he's in foul ground at third base. I mean, he's a gym rat, and I think he really works hard on his defense, and he may go down depending on if he stays healthy and how long he plays as the best third baseman ever to play the game, and that's high praise for somebody that that is still just about to turn 30.
We know that at age 29, he's been in the game for 8 years, Gold Gloves all 8 years, and the guy can hit. Now, last year, offensively, had a step back in terms of numbers, but that was also attributed to injury. Joe, you've seen him play a whole bunch. What kind of an offensive player is he?
I mean, he's got all the power you need. He can also obviously hit for average. And it's almost unfair now with the way players that play in Denver kind of get downgraded because they play in that altitude. They have the humidor. I think the game's become a lot better with baseball in Colorado than it was. His road splits are not as good as his home numbers, but somebody made a comparison I read today about DJ LeMahieu. I mean, LeMahieu may be the best hitter in baseball, plays for the Yankees, which is not very far above sea level last time I checked. And I think the same. I think once Nolan gets a chance to settle in, feel comfortable, may not happen in the first month of the season, whenever that occurs. But I think once he gets that comfort level, I think he's going to be as dynamic a player as there is. You know, to go from where they were to where they are with this one deal just brightens the whole mood of the organization. So they did really well here, and they deserve a lot of credit for pulling off getting a player that any team would want on their roster.
And again, that's Joe Buck with our good friend Tom Ackerman. I want to remind you, too, that as we're getting ready for the season, there are all kinds of cool things you can involve yourself with, and that includes kids. The Cardinals Kid Club, presented by Rawlings, is the exclusive fan club for kids 13 and under. Membership includes access to virtual events, exclusive virtual events, and items include like a fleece blanket and a wall sign and all of that for just $33. Just check it out, man. You can join at cardinals.com/kidsclub. All right, coming up next, we got a calendar to give away and then a whole nother hour of coverage on the Cardinals' big moves over the last week. Obviously, the big trade with Nolan Arenado, bringing back Adam Wainwright. We're still waiting on Yachty. We'll see where that goes, but we'll wrap up this hour and give away a 2021 calendar. Coming up next, it's the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on KMOX.
All right, closing out hour number one, getting ready for hour number two. A little business to take care of for you. I want to remind you that the 2021 Cardinals calendar celebrates 12 epic moments in Cardinals history and gets you ready for baseball with the spring training and regular season schedules all right there for you. You can pick up your calendar at area grocers and retailers or by calling 314-345-9000. Now, one lucky person has a chance to get a 2021 Cardinals calendar for free right now, and that'll be the first caller at 314-531-1120. 314-531-1120. First caller gets the 2021 Cardinals calendar. All right, stay tuned. We just got going. I know we've had a busy first hour. The second hour is going to be very much the same. We're going to be hearing from Adam Wainwright in the next hour. We're going to talk to Matt Holliday about his friend Nolan Arenado and his, you know, kind of a couple of guys there that made the transition from Colorado eventually to St. Louis. I know Matt Holliday had the stop in Oakland there in between all of that, but a couple of guys that kind of made this same transition. We'll talk about that with Matt Holliday coming up in just a little bit. And of course, when we come back, a little bit more on Adam Wainwright as well. It's Mike Claiborne and Kevin Wheeler with you here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
One on, nobody out. The 2-0 pitch.
Here you swing a long fly ball into left field. This is going to leave the park.
This is the Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron.
That ball's hit deep to left. This one's going to be out of here.
Get up, baby. Get up, get up, get up. Oh, yeah.
This one is going to go. Oh, my. He got all of that one.
Now, Mike Claiborne and Kevin Wheeler and the Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
All right, hour number two of the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. And Claibs, I know the biggest news, because it's such a new thing, has been the acquisition of Nolan Arenado. We heard from him last hour. We heard from Mo. You and I talked a bit about it. And I think that, you know, that's the big news. But I don't want to leave this out. I mean, we got to spend some time on Waino, because right before the Arenado news broke last week, we had Adam Wainwright reintroduced as a member of the Cardinals team. And, you know, we all know what he's all about from a legacy standpoint, Claves. I mean, this guy is an all-time Cardinal great. But, boy, from a performance standpoint and a stability standpoint, how much does that guy help going into a new year, knowing you've got another yes in the rotation as opposed to a trial?
It's a good question, because I look at last year, and, you know, it was an abbreviated season, and he was really effective. Now, if you spread that out over 162, what are you getting? And I think we see that he's so much more effective at home. You know, I'm not sure if he's a guy that's in the rotation every start. I know he'd like to be, but I think I've got to find a way for him to be effective and also work in some other young pitchers in maybe that fifth spot in the rotation. But knowing Adam, you know, he might come out guns blazing and really force your hand in how you're going to use him. But I want to make sure that I have a legitimate Adam Wainwright at the end of the year as much as I do in the beginning.
No question. And, you know, it's funny, the way that you set it up, because we knew that there, I think it's pretty clear, and you and I have talked a bit about it, because it was only a 2-month season for everybody. You know, I think a lot of teams are going to be careful about starting pitching and not necessarily planning on those guys making 32 or 33 starts. So while you did trade one of your potential starting candidates in Austin Gomber to get Nolan Arenado, you still have a whole load of guys that fall in behind your top four. And I think we all agree the top four would be Jack Flaherty, Kwon Young Kim, Miles Mikolas, and Adam Wainwright, assuming health for all four of those guys. But then you still have Ponce de Leon. You still have Carlos Martinez, depending on how he does. And apparently he's thrown the ball pretty well in the Caribbean League. So I think we're all at the point where we're just kind of waiting to see on him. But he's a candidate to be in there. You've got a lot of the kids that are going to be in
Alex
the mix.
Reyes.
John Gant, Alex Reyes, Genesis Cabrera could be that. I mean, I think, you know, the depth is really the strength of this team on the pitching side, whether you're talking rotation or bullpen. And just having a guy like Wainwright there as kind of a guidepost is going to make things, I think, a little bit easier for the team to manage in terms of how you set them up for a long season following a short season.
The other issue that comes into play here is how many innings a lot of those guys. I mean, think about the fact that, with the exception of Matthew Liberatore, virtually everybody in the organization who was near major league ready got a major league opportunity. So that experience that they got is something that bodes well for them coming into this year. But I got to tell you, Kevin, with the exception of Hicks, every other guy better come in here stretched out or looking to start, okay? Yeah. And Hicks is a guy, he's a big, strong kid that I wouldn't want to just limit him to one inning. You know, I think with the way the game is trending, we may go back to the fireman era, where you may have a guy come in the seventh inning and put out a fire and then work from there. Maybe he gets a 2-inning save or a five batter save, something along that line. Because I think you have to stretch these pitchers out a little bit more. And fortunately for the Cardinals, they've got a lot of pitchers. Oh. And how they are used is something that we'll have to wait and see. But I like the experience factor that they have.
Yeah, and I forgot one, but you're bringing up the fact that some of these guys got experience last year. I mean, I forgot Oviedo, who was really impressive. And, you know, that's a guy that probably ends up, you know, if he's not your fifth starter at the beginning, he's probably ends up in Memphis, you know, staying built up in case you need somebody, and where some of these other guys might just track to the bullpen, and then, you know, you can find a way to move back and forth. But I think that, you know, they're all going to be happy. I got to believe that every single one of them is thrilled to have a new teammate in Nolan Arenado, who can steal away some of those hits and make plays that, I mean, Claves, I mean, taking away hits that should be hits is what great defense is all about. And, you know, you've got that at both corners right now. You know, speaking specifically of Wainwright, by the way, how funny was it that last Friday at his own Zoom conference, he kind of hinted that something big was coming, like he knew how close this thing was happening with Nolan Arenado. And then later that day, we get the reports that it's happening. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I agree with you. He kept the secret as well as he could. but you know what, Kevin? Here's something that I was talking to a pitcher. Everybody's ERA is going to drop about a half a point thanks to Nolan Arenado at this point. And when you think about what he and Goldschmidt can do, taking away doubles down the line, Paul DeJong has certainly made himself an accountable shortstop.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? We haven't seen a lot of him at second base, but Tommy Edman has learned how to play this game in an effective manner, no matter where he's at. And, you know, the other thing, and I know it's kind of a long shot, we haven't heard a great deal about it, but do you kick the tires on what Colton Wong might want or what you're willing to pay him, considering that that second base market really just kind of fizzled? Other than LeMahieu, we didn't see anybody really make big money. Is that a tire you kick one more time before you go to spring training?
It doesn't hurt, especially if you get to do it on the Rockies' dime.
Yeah, exactly. You are absolutely right about that. And maybe it's a short-term deal, but if you're Colton Wong and you look and you say, holy cow, this could be one of the all-time great infields, and he'd like to be part of it. And oh, by the way, he's a left-handed hitter who's been in the leadoff spot and was fairly effective the first time around. I got to go back and say, hey, look, we know it didn't work out like you wanted it to, but we think maybe there's a way we can make this work if you work with us.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. We'll be checking in, obviously, between now and the start of the season, talking a bit about how all of that develops. In the meantime, you know, we're still dealing with a little bit of the cold, Claves. We're waiting for the summer months where we can enjoy the time at the ballpark and things outside. And Cardinals Special Events offers all sorts of unique options for celebrating outdoors at Busch Stadium, from cocktails on the warning track to brunch in the bullpen. Your group will be sure to make memories that will last a lifetime. So just check it out. It's cardinals.com/events to find out more. Stick around. We're going to get more of a look at the Denver/Colorado Rockies side of this coming up next. Kevin Wheeler, Mike Claiborne with you on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Ameren on the Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Ameren on KMOX.
We are continuing on with the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Ameren here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Obviously, we spent most of the time today, Claibs, breaking down the Nolan Arenado trade and all of the St. Louis angles on that, getting stories about him from guys that know him well. We've got Matt Holliday coming up a little bit later on in the hour to do just that. And right now, happy to have Ryan Spielborgs with us. Of course, Ryan, a part of the Rockies broadcast team, a host at MLB Network Radio as well. You'll find him on Twitter at SpillyGoat19. And Spilly, first of all, it's good to talk to you again, man. Thank you for doing this. Always enjoyed the times that we've gotten to do some shows together, and I appreciate you helping us out today on a day that, I think you have a pretty good input on, you know, the things that are going on with this trade involving the Cardinals and the Rockies. So thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, my pleasure. Wheels and Claib, I'm always looking forward to catching up with you guys from St. Louis, and you guys got a good one.
Well, Ryan, tell us, just what do we have? I mean, we've seen all the highlights. We've watched him kill us over the years and just about everybody else in baseball. But what are we getting as a person?
Man, I've known Nolan since 2009. He comes from a very strong family. You know, for his family is, you know, has Cuban descent and Cuban, you know, background, and it's really important to him and, you know, keeping this close-knit kind of group. You can see it if you look back at videos of him playing wiffle ball with his brother Jonah and his cousin Josh Fuentes, who plays for the Rockies now. It's a baseball family, and he's always been a baseball rat. Like, I'll give you an example, and this is where, you know, when people come to the stadium at 5 o'clock at night and they're watching batting practice, you think that the players may have just got there, and it's so far from accurate when you talk about the average day of a major leaguer. Most guys are getting to the field around 2 or 3 in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock game. Well, if you go to Coors Field, and I'm often at Coors Field doing radio, and even when I'm on the road, Nolan gets to the stadium around noon. And before anybody's even there, he'll walk out, headphones on, as part of his normal routine, and he goes to the outfield, and he'll go into the bullpen, and he'll stand with a bat and listening to music and just kind of visualize. He loves the game. Like, I cannot stress it enough. He wants to be great at the game. And, you know, very few players that I've witnessed have his work ethic, have his passion for winning, have his passion for his teammates and his family. So just getting a chance to see somebody do this day in, day out, it doesn't matter if it's a day game, a night game after a long road trip, Nolan will go out there and do this. And, you know, it's really endearing. It's an endearing quality that very few in any sport have, to where you can watch somebody that's truly wanting to be great and putting that time and effort to be great.
Spilly, you played with a guy that we're going to talk to in a bit, Matt Holliday, and you know him well. Those guys seem to be somewhat comparable in terms of work ethic and how they go about it. I'm sure their personalities are different and all, but they seem to be cut from that same cloth.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the fortunate part of seeing some really good players come through the Rockies franchise, both as a teammate and as a broadcaster now. And what was amazing is as the Rockies kind of gained some notoriety in the early 2000s, you know, you had players like a Preston Wilson and mm-hmm. a Larry Walker, a Todd Helton. And then you had this little lull in between basically 2002 and 2006. And one of the players that popped out of that group was Matt Holliday. And what was amazing about it was, you know, Holliday brought a work ethic to that group that was comparable to Todd Helton. And Todd saw, you know, player after player, especially when you're the long tenured guy,
right.
You know, you don't see a lot of, you know, guys coming in. It's always, you know, free agent here, free agent there, but never, you know, internally players from the minor league system that had an edge. And Holliday brought that. And Holliday basically passed on this work ethic and this accountability and this friendship to Troy Tulowitzki. And Tulo passed that one down to Nolan. And so, you know, when I think about the Rockies franchise and the culture, you know, it really, even though the franchise has been around for about 25 years, you know, there's in the last decade or so, there really has been an impact and a passing of the torch of this hard work ethic within the group from the homegrown talent. And, you know, it started with Helton and it pushed itself to Holliday. And like I said, it trickled to Tulo. The Tulo passed it to DJ. DJ passed it to Nolan and a Trevor Story. And that's how it's going to continue to work.
Did you really think this would happen? Because, you know, we talked about this last year a great deal. And all of a sudden it comes up again. Normally we don't see deals take this long to happen. Teams kind of walk away once they realize it's not going to take place. But were you surprised that this was rekindled?
No, I mean, it made sense to me. Even on MLB Network Radio, I said it in November, I'd trade Nolan if I was in that same position. And it's not because you want to move the asset for revenue reasons. It wasn't, you know, this discussion that the Rockies are doing a salary dump because of the pandemic is far from the truth, because you did have a player in an organization with the Rockies and the Cardinals that were talking about this deal now, realistically, previously to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So this was a pre-pandemic kind of path that the Rockies and the Cardinals were on. You know, as you look at, and you have to be realistic. I mean, could the Rockies have kept Nolan in their organization? Of course they could. What would they have done different? You have to assess where you are in your division. You know, the Cardinals, if the Cardinals had a Cubs team that was clearly, you know, winning the division after division after division, you probably wouldn't have made a Paul Goldschmidt deal or made a Nolan deal. But because your division's wide open, this Nolan extends a window for you. In the Rockies' case, you have a Dodgers team and a Padres team, both who are geared up. You're not beating them. It's clear. They're in right in the prime of their window. Their prospects are better. Their overall teams are better. So you have to reassess and think of, okay, how do we get back to a team that's competitive at this high of a level to beat the Dodgers and the Padres? And if you look at it through that clear lens, with a player that you know was publicly disgruntled and didn't really want to be in that franchise because he saw, you know, there's only so much you can take until you get fed up. Yeah. You know, if you can't beat him, join him. And I think that's okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with a player. You know, we see it in basketball. We see it in the NFL. Deshaun Watson says, get me out of Houston. We saw it with James Harden, you know, saying, get me out of here as well. I don't see any – I don't take any issue when a player – that has a certain caliber. Is it a bit of entitlement to a player that has a better career than others? Yes, I certainly believe that. But when you're an organization trying to compete in a very difficult division with a player that's taking up 27% of salary and you have the opportunity to potentially get better, you do have to make decisions like what the Rockies had to do. Not justifying it, because no matter what, you know, fans and myself, I'm a fan of Nolan.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to see Nolan in any other color than purple.
And again, many thanks to Rockies broadcaster and host at MLB Network Radio, Ryan Spielborgs, for joining us to give the kind of the Colorado perspective on how all of this played out, and also in a little background on Arenado as well. I want to remind you that you can gear up for the season with a subscription to Cardinals Magazine, your premier source for Cardinals coverage in season and out. You can sign up at cardinals.com/magazine or call 314-345-9000. Stick around. When we come back, we are going to talk about and hear a little bit from Cardinals starter Adam Wainwright, who, again, I hate to see that. We don't want this to be like Waino is getting overlooked in all this. The breaking news with Arenado is a really big deal. But of course, it's also a big deal to have Waino back, and we will hear from Waino coming up. Mike Claiborne and Kevin Wheeler with you on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amarin on the Cardinals Radio Network.
And now more Straight Talk from Straight Talk. The big wireless companies say they're the only way to get the best coverage.
Because they've got like a gajillion cell towers?
Something like that. But Straight Talk Wireless runs on those same towers, so you get the same great networks for up to 50% less.
I wonder if they're counting that one in Kickapoo, Kansas.
Oh boy. Switch today and get our unlimited plan for just $45 a month with 25 gigs at high speeds and no contract. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
Savings may vary. See straighttalk.com.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show, presented by Amarin on Kingham OX.
We continue on with the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amarin here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. And Claibs, I know we teased this at the beginning of the hour. We spent a lot of the show on Nolan Arenado and the deal. And great to hear, you know, from Mo how it came down and from Arenado himself. And I know we briefly touched on it, but we want to do a little bit more, hear a little bit more from Adam Wainwright coming up here in a second, because, you know, a lot of levels, but keeping that guy around is such a big deal. And I think when you listen to Arenado, it's guys like that that were kind of one of the draws for him in looking at the Cardinals as a favorable destination.
I would agree with you, Kevin. And, you know, there are teams throughout sports that covet a person like Adam Wainwright, who's got the experience, the demeanor, the leadership, and still the skill set to be able to contribute on and off the field. And you couldn't have a better example of a teammate than Adam Wainwright. Now, that doesn't mean he has to be a rah-rah, turn-over-the-table sort of a guy, but yeah, his calm and his understanding of people and him being such a good listener and always having a legitimate response is something that you really wish you could have more of. But when you have one, you want to make sure you keep him around as long as he can be effective on the field and certainly off the field.
You know, we're talking about a guy, Claibs, third in this franchise's history in wins, behind Bob Gibson and Jesse Haynes, right? Two Hall of Famers, and then Adam Wainwright. We're talking about a guy that is in the top, what, three or four in terms of strikeouts all time in the organization's history, top 10. I think he's sixth all time in innings pitched. I mean, you know, I don't know why.
In top, but it's five in class.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, that stuff is important too, because in addition to the current day impact, I mean, having these guys and knowing that very likely they're only going to play for one team in one uniform really, I think, means something to fans. I think people love that.
No, I agree with you. And I just couldn't see him in another uniform, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been so used to it. And I think when you take in everything that he would have had to deal with going to another team, and as he mentioned, with so many kids to haul around, and, you know, even Matt Holliday talked about how important that was for him to be around his kids while he was playing. Adam has had that same opportunity to pack them all up and move them on, man. I just didn't see that working out for him.
No, he stuck around. And here, we're going to hear some of what he had to say this past Friday at his own kind of reintroductory press conference, where he talked about coming back and what this all means to him.
Yeah, I just want to continue to build on expectations. In 2019, I had my second half of the year, I felt like I pitched pretty well. Some things I could have done better, clearly. And 2020, I mean, you know, albeit it was only 10 starts, but that's a third of a season. There was some things I really did well, but the expectations were there to be great and to pitch nine again. And it wasn't hoping to go nine. I was really expecting to go nine. And I think that's why I pitched deeper into games a lot of times, kept my pitch count down. Now, you know, some of that people are going to point to the DH and whatnot, but pitch count way down. I trained last offseason, and then when we had that dead time, I trained 12 pitches, no more than 12 pitches, shut it down, take a break, get back on it, 12 pitches. I was training myself to believe that I'm not throwing any more than 12 pitches in any inning I throw. That's just going to happen. I'm 12 pitches or less. And then during the season, the goal was 8 pitches or less. And that expectation allowed me to attack, allowed me to get some quick outs, allowed me to go deeper into games, allowed me to get hitters on the defensive. And so the expectations of me wanting to go out there and go deeper into the game were there for realistically for the first time in a few years. And I want to build off of that. And so I did that. I did that pretty well. I mean, I judge myself on a pretty hard curve. I can be better at that. I can go deeper into games. I can be more consistent. I can do things a little bit here and there. But I was pleased with answering the bell every time. I was pleased with feeling the way my body felt. The training staff just did an amazing job. The strength staff and the training staff just did such a great job of making me prepared for each and every start. So those are the things I'm going to try to build off of and continue. You know, it's I'll tell you this. I promise you. After feeling the way I felt the last couple of years, if I start to feel like I hope I get outs again and not I really expect to get outs again, I will retire. I mean, I've gotten to that point. I'm almost 40 years old. I will retire. I've got plenty of kids to raise. I've got so many kids. I've got plenty of kids to raise. I've got lots of things to do. So when the expectation drops from being great to something else, I'll retire. I think there's some things that I really like about this chance, our chances to win this year. I wouldn't sign back. You know, I honestly would have gone somewhere else and I didn't ever think I would even consider it, but it was apparent to me as we got into the process that, you know, tasting the playoffs again last year, that was a really big deal for me. Pitching the playoffs, feeling that, even though we didn't have fans in the stands, feeling that buzz in the air in October, that was important and I love it. And I needed that again. So, I'm glad that I'm going to be on a team that's going to have a chance to do that.
And again, that was Adam Wainwright from last week. Always, always great to hear from him. I want to remind you, for the best baseball content and hot stove updates this offseason, follow at MLB on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. A lot of the rumors that have been floating around have been making their way through on those channels. And now, Claves, there are no more rumors. There's no more stuff like that. It's a fact. Waino's done deal. Of course, Nolan Arenado is a done deal. And now we're just waiting for the shoe to drop on Yadier Molina.
And I think there's one more aside from Molina. Now, it won't obviously have the same magnitude of impact, but I think that the Cardinals probably have another person in mind that they'd like to just add for safety's sake.
Absolutely. All right, coming up next, we're going to get a little bit more on Nolan Arenado from a guy that knows him pretty well, former Cardinals outfielder Matt Holliday, going to join us when we come back here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show, presented by Amron on KMOX.
All right, back in on the Countdown to Opening Day show, presented by Amron here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here, and obviously, really big week for Cardinals fans. The Nolan Arenado trade, looking forward to seeing how all this plays out. And, you know, we've been looking for angles, Claves, guys, to talk to about Nolan Arenado. And one name that came up pretty frequently was that of Matt Holliday. And, of course, Matt joining us now in advance of getting ready to go do some coaching. First of all, Matt, thank you for doing this, man. We hope you're doing well.
No problem. Love to catch up with you guys and talk a little Cardinal baseball.
Well, Matt, tell us about Mr. Arenado. We had a chance to talk to him a little bit, and he gave you a lot of credit on helping him in his career, but also giving him some good pointers on what St. Louis is all about.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it's easy to look from afar and see a great player. I think it's obvious his defensive skills, his run driving in, 35 to 40 homers in the MVP talk every year. I mean, those are things that I think, you know, you can obviously tell. But I think the impact that he will have on young players and when you talk about work ethic and attention to detail and championship caliber preparation and give a care factor and just I think emphasizing his hating to lose and how much he loves the game, I think really jumps off the page to me about what separates Nolan and making sure that he's getting the best out of himself for the team every single day. So I think you'll see a guy that, like I said, loves to win but hates to lose. He loves to compete. He'll make his teammates better. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I know, and getting a chance in 18 to watch him up close, and then just watching him on TV every night, I feel like he makes a gold glove sort of quality play every single night. And I think that's, as a fan, there's a anticipation and excitement that knowing you're going to watch one of the greatest defenders in the history of baseball.
Obviously, you made this exact same move. I wasn't directly from Coors Field to St. Louis via Oakland in the middle, but you made the transition from altitude to no altitude. And he talked about that, Nolan did earlier today, just that, you know, the difficulty when you're there of changing from altitude to no altitude. And then when people get out of it, like you, seemed to be that it was a relatively easy adjustment for you. Like once you got settled, there was no more home road split or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that everybody hits better at home. So first off, guys that when as a hitter, you're more comfortable where you see the ball the most, the batter's box that you stand in, the hitting background that you see, the place that you take the most batting practice, sleeping in your own bed, your routine. Everybody, I think in general, hits and performs better at home. But I think when you talk about, you know, just like you talked about moving away from Coors Field and you just really go back to the process, like, and try not to let any of that enter in. Okay. So what's a good swing? A good swing works anywhere you play. It doesn't matter where you're at. Driving the ball into the gaps is a great approach no matter where you are. Hitting the ball hard in the middle of the field is a great approach no matter where you are. And so I think you just focus on what you can control, which is being in the batter's box, getting a good pitch to hit, and hitting it hard in the middle of the field. And I think if you go back to make things as simple as possible, and I think for me that was one of the things that I had to go back to. And even when you talk about getting traded and the expectations and the excitement and the fans expect you to get a hit every single time because in their minds, all they see is highlights, and that's you get a hit or a home run every time you're up. It can be, you know, that can be a little bit of you kind of let that get to you a little bit. So, again, going back to what you can control, which for Nolan is preparation, hard work. The things that he loves about the game is the behind the scenes hard work. And I think that when hitters get back to, hey, what can I control? Well, I can get a good pitch to hit. I can put a good swing on it. I can have a good mindset of hitting the ball in the middle of the field and not worry about what park you're in. And I think that's the part about baseball is we don't play in a basketball arena. We don't play in a football field. Every field is different. The dimensions are all different. The ball carries depending on the day, the weather. There's so many factors that go into hitting a baseball and where you're hitting it that if you let all that get into your mind, you're thinking about the wrong thing. So I think that he's going to be very good at keeping things simple and keeping his approach successful.
Matt, what do you like about his approach and his swing? You know, we see him a few times during the season, mm-hmm. and any other time it's a highlight of him hitting one in the seats. But one of the things that I noticed is he hits a lot of line drives. So what do you mm-hmm. see?
Yeah, he's got a pretty direct swing, which I think, you know, it's a pretty short swing. He uses the whole field. He's a gap-to-gap hitter. But I think, you know, if you throw the ball in and up, he can still get to it because he has such a short swing arc. He's keeps his head down really well. He's a good all-around hitter, Claves. And I think that, you know, he doesn't have to be hitting the ball out of the ballpark to be a productive offensive player. He hits the ball the other way with runners in scoring position. So I think that you're looking at a guy that is not a typical, like his numbers would say, would be a guy that hits a lot of fly balls and is going for the downs every time. But I think in reality, he's like you said, a really good line drive hitter that when he catches it slightly under, he's got juice to hit it out. But I think he has a good, solid line drive middle of the field approach, and so I think that's something that plays anywhere, and I think that's the exciting part about people when they look at you know, his home run splits or what he's going to look like outside of Coors Field. Well, you know, he didn't rely on the altitude by hitting sky high fly balls to carry the ball out of the ballpark. So he's an all around really good hitter, and like I said, the thing that I love most about him is he's always working, always trying to get a little bit better. you know, maybe a pitch that he struggled with the previous year, he would call me and, hey, you know, let's, what do you think about hitting this pitch or that pitch? And, you know, send me video of, hey, this is the adjustment I'm making. What do you think? And things like that. So when guys are always trying to get better, those are the kind of guys that I really, you know, I appreciate.
Matt, when you kind of look back and really this ownership group's tenure, all of the guys that they've committed to long-term have that same characteristic you described about the grind, right? I mean, Albert and Yachty and you and Chris Carpenter and Matt Carpenter and Waino and Goldschmidt and now Arenado too. I mean, how big a part of that is that of kind of the way that this team wants to play and the way they, the product they want to put on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Cardinals organization does a really good job of making sure that they're giving the commitment to the right kind of people and the people that are, you know, that are driven by excellence. They're driven by being the best version of themselves they can be. And I think that those are the kind of people you can trust with a long-term contract. And I think that they do a good job of that. And they do their due diligence with the character part of it. And I think that that's really been the calling card from the Cardinals organization, going back to the Cardinal way and some of the things that some people on the outside sort of maybe poo-poo out a little bit. But I think that there is a way to play the game. There's a way to work. There's a way to there is a standard of St. Louis Cardinal baseball that we as members of it, when you join the organization, or you join the team, you feel the expectation and you feel the standard that there is to give it everything you've got. And I think that they've done a really good job of hiring and extending the right kind of people. And I think that that's exciting, you know, with Paul and Nolan going forward. They've got two pillars to build on moving, you know, to the next 5 to 6 years. So obviously you still got Yachty hopefully Yachty and Waino to kind of help with the torch of what Cardinal baseball looks like, but really, really strong kind of leaders and middle lineup types to kind of build towards.
Matt, you're out of the game now. It hasn't been that long. And I know you're coaching not only your kids, but some kids a little older. What do you see young people doing today that you try and give them advice on? Because we see so many different approaches now and everybody's trying to do it a different way. But what are you trying to instill in the young players you deal with?
Well, I think that some of the things now are there's just so many drills. Like, you got to hit in the game and stuff that you can do in the cage and some of the launch angle stuff and some of these you know, these gimmick things and some of the things that I think they are useful, but I think in general, you have to go back to the reality that you're going to have to hit. Your swing is going to be conducive to hitting 90 plus mile an hour fastballs and guys trying to change speeds and accelerating breaking balls and balls that are going down and away from you. So to me, you know, things that work on short toss don't work in the game necessarily. You can go in and I can get in on short toss and stand on my head and hit line drives. I think that sometimes we get away from the fact that, hey, okay, we have to come up with an approach. We have to come up with a swing that's short enough to cover pitches all over the strike zone. And I think sometimes it nowadays with all the internet and Twitter and Instagram and all these hitting gurus and I think some of them have some good stuff, but I think in general, talking generalities with today's hitters and young players, is some of it is not game usable, and that's the thing that, you know, I want to get hits in the game, right? So I can look great in batting practice or even in the batting cage, but and my numbers on hit tracks might look awesome, but I want to get hits in the game, and as a coach, we want to score runs, and you. You don't get any points for hitting poolside, you know, homers in the batting cage, and it just they don't count towards the game. So that's one thing that I think, Claves, when I look at kind of what's going on today, that I want to make sure my kids and our college guys understand.
And many thanks to Matt Holliday for spending a little time with us earlier on. He's getting ready to get out there and coach those Oklahoma State hitters. He obviously coaches at Oklahoma State with his brother Josh, who is the head coach. Matt coaches hitters and I think works with the outfielders as well. But very cool of him to join us, and great perspective on Arenado, on that transition from being a Coors Field hitter to hitting at normal altitudes. As always, great stuff with Matt Holliday. I also want to point out to you guys more great stuff. The Cardinals Kids Club presented by Rawlings is the exclusive fan club for kids 13 and under. Membership includes access to exclusive virtual events and items that include a fleece blanket and a wall sign, all for just $33. You can join at cardinals.com/kidsclub. All right, coming up next, we're going to wrap it up and give away another 2021 calendar. It's Kevin Wheeler, Mike Claiborne. It's Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show presented by Ameren on the Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show presented by Ameren on KMOX.
Man, what a great show and certainly a great time for Cardinals fans when you're getting Wainwright back. It sounds like Yachty's going to be just a matter of time before it gets done. Hopefully next week we can be doing the same kind of show about Yadier Molina returning to the Cardinals the same way we did about Waino returning and, of course, Nolan Arenado arriving. Many thanks to our guest today, John Mozeliak. We heard from Nolan Arenado, Joe Buck, Ryan Spielborgs. Heard from Waino, obviously. Great to talk to Matt Holliday in that last segment as well. We appreciate everyone being a part of the show today. Also want to remind everybody that's listening, you can pick up your 2021 Cardinals calendar that celebrates 12 epic moments in Cardinals history and gets you ready with spring training and regular season schedules all right there for you. You can pick yours up at area grocers and retailers or by calling 314-345-9000. But one lucky person, our first caller at 314-531-1120, picks up a 2021 Cardinals calendar for free right now. So again, first caller, 314-531-1120. For Mike Claiborne, I'm Kevin Wheeler saying thank you so much for joining us. It's been a big week. We'll look forward to more big weeks to come here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show presented by Ameren on the Cardinals Radio Network.